Thank you, Anne, for sharing that scripture. Children's Church, if you guys want to head downstairs. For those who are left, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we get to sing your praises. We get to speak to you. We get to learn from you. Thank you for your word. May it come alive to us this morning. Amen. Turn over to John chapter 3. It's Christmas time. Definitely one of my favorite times of the year. The gatherings, the food, the snow. I like all that stuff. Most of all, we think of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Now you might be thinking, John 3:16, maybe the most famous verse in the whole scriptures, what does that have to do with Christmas? John 3:16, anyone here know it off by heart? Yeah, it's a pretty famous verse. Anyone brave enough to say it out loud? There's got to be somebody. Yes. Thank you, Ken. What does that have to do with Christmas? In John chapter 3, we're near the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And this guy comes to Jesus at night, Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee, he's a teacher. And he comes to Jesus at night and they're talking back and forth and Jesus is explaining to him, you know, the only way to be born again, the only way to see the kingdom of God is to be born again. You have to have a new heart. And Nicodemus is wrestling with this, and that's where we pick up this story in John chapter 3. So why don't you stand and let's start reading John chapter 3 verse 13. John 3:13. Jesus is speaking, no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has already been judged because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. You can have a seat. So I think the pinnacle of these verses is verse 16. God sent his Son to save the world. I'm going to break it down into 3 points. I know, it's a shocker. I'm going to look at the last two verses first of all to see the situation. So verses 18 and 19, we're going to see the whole situation. Then verses 13 to 15, we're going to look at the snake. And finally, verses 16 and 17, look at the Son. So the situation, the snake and the Son. First of all, let's see where they find themselves. What's the situation? Verses 18 and 19. Verses 18 and 19, I'll read them again. This is an NIV. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the people loved darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. So Jesus is explaining here that he says the Son of Man. He's talking about himself. He says when the Son of Man comes into the world, When I came, he's saying, when I came into the world, I came to save. I didn't come to condemn the world. Why? Because the world was condemned already. The world was judged as guilty already. I think we often have this idea that when God sent his one and only son, Jesus, he sent him into the world and everyone was sort of neutral. They were sort of a clean slate, and Jesus came to save some and he came to condemn others. I don't think that's correct. Jesus is saying here, maybe I'll just read it. Whoever believes, this is verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So the truth is, when God sent his Son, everyone was condemned already, and he came to save some. He came to save. So if we all got what we deserved before he came, it wouldn't be neutral. Some would go to heaven, some would go to hell. No, we were all guilty. We're all sinful, right? Since Adam and Eve, they rebelled against God. Their kids and their grandkids, all the way down to us, they were sinful. They've rebelled against God. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when Jesus came, he didn't come to condemn. Everyone was condemned already. He came to save. Jesus came to save. Those who don't believe in God's one and only Son are condemned already. So Jesus comes into this world. The world was darkness. Look at verse 19. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. People were sinful, they were sinning, and in their evil, this is the darkness. The light come, but most people, they don't want anything to do with the light. They want to keep doing their evil things, their hidden things in the darkness. But Jesus came into the world as the light. But most stay in the darkness because their deeds are evil and they don't want to be exposed. So this is the situation. What we're celebrating at Christmas, that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus. What was happening before that? Everyone was condemned already. So that was the situation. Let's look at the snake, verses 13 to 15. Verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. So first of all, in verse 13, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Jesus, speaking of himself, is saying the Son of Man descended from heaven. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time, right? God came to earth. God among us. He ascended from heaven. Jesus came to earth, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. Ascended from heaven to earth. Now Jesus goes back, and he's looking back, way back in the history of the Israelites. He goes back to Numbers 21. Why don't you turn there with me? Numbers chapter 21. We're going to start at Numbers 21:4. I don't know about you. A few times I've tried to read through the Bible, and you're good. It's like Genesis, Exodus is going well. You hit Leviticus, and it's like, oh, this is a tough reading. And then you're seeing Numbers is next, and you think, oh. Turns out Numbers isn't just all numbers. It's an excellent book, and this is one of the stories in there. Numbers 21:4. The Israelites are wandering in the desert. They've come out of Egypt. There's all those plagues. They cross through the Red Sea. They're free. They're no longer slaves. And they're in the desert, and what do they do over and over? They complain. They're impatient. They whine. And here's one more of those times. Numbers 21:4. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. So they're in the desert and they're complaining. They're impatient. They're saying, God, Moses, you brought us out of Egypt. We had food in Egypt. Now we have no food. We have no water. Oh, and the food that we do have, we hate it. We don't like it. They're speaking against God. They're speaking against Moses. They're in the darkness. What's God's response? Look at verse 6. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. So God sends poisonous snakes among the people. They're biting the people, and it says many of them died. That'd be scary. Verse 7. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard, and it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. So God sends these poisonous snakes to the people. They're biting them. They're dying. They call out to Moses, help us, intercede to God. He comes to the Lord, and God says to Moses, Moses, build a snake, put it up on a pole high enough in the camp. Whoever sees it, if you get bit by a snake, you look up at the snake on the pole, you're going to be healed. So that's what he does. Out of bronze, makes a snake, sticks it up on a pole, puts it in the camp. And then if anyone got bit by one of these poisonous snakes, instead of dying, they look up to the snake and they don't die. They're healed. So back in John chapter 3, Jesus is looking back. And he's talking about that story. And he's saying that the people before Jesus came, it's like they were bitten by snakes, right? They have this poison in them. They're in this very severe situation. They're like the Israelites who were bitten by a snake. They're going to die. Their only hope is to look up at the snake to be saved, to be born again. The only way to be born again is to believe in Jesus, who is lifted up on a pole like the snake. So we see that this snake was lifted up, and Jesus makes the point in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus is prophesying about himself. He's saying, I also am going to be lifted up. Just like that snake was lifted up, I'm going to be lifted up. And we know when he got crucified, it's up on a hill, it's up on a cross, he was lifted up. Of course, the Romans did it so that it would embarrass him, shame him, everyone would mock him. And he was. But of course, we know that it's more than that. In fact, he was exalted on that cross, and it becomes the greatest gift ever that we can be saved because of him. So the snake's lifted up, Jesus is lifted up. Not only that, look at verse 15. So that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. So just like the Israelites, when they got bit by that snake, if they didn't want to die, they'd look up to be saved. Jesus is saying, just like the Son of Man, whoever turns away from their own sin, they look up to the Son of Man, they look up to Jesus, they believe in him, they too will receive eternal life. Now those who got bit by the snake, they didn't receive eternal life, but they received, in a way, they were born again, right? They had a new chance on life. They didn't die. Jesus is saying, those who look up to me that I'm going to be killed on the cross, they're not only going to receive a few more years on this earth, they're going to receive eternal life. Eternal life. Amazing. We have sinned and deserve justice. We deserve hell, but God does not leave us in our sin. Let us read about this plan to send a Savior. Verse 16. So we've seen the situation. We see this example of the snake in the past. Now, let's look at the Son. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. For God so loved the world. Because God loved the world so much, he gave his one and only Son. His love is demonstrated by his giving. His giving shows his love. It doesn't say God, he reluctantly gave his Son, or he grumbled while he's giving his Son, or he was somehow forced. No, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. So how does this look? How does it look for God to send his one and only Son into the world? Well, we read it in Luke chapter 2 from the scripture reading. Let's read it in Matthew's account. Go to Matthew 1, first chapter in the New Testament. How does it look for God to love the world that he gives his one and only Son? Matthew chapter 1. If you see the first 17 verses of Matthew chapter 1, he's showing that this Son has been planned long ago. In fact, before the creation of the world, comes through the perfect line. And we see in verse 18 of Matthew 1, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call him his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus. He was named Jesus. Why? Verse 21. For he will save his people from their sins. Jesus offers eternal life. As John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. We see here that God gives the greatest gift ever given. At Christmas time, often we give gifts, we receive gifts, but no gift compares to the gift that God sent Jesus. There is no greater gift. no more valuable gift, no more precious gift that anyone has ever given to anyone. We sang the song, What Child Is This? And I think in there it's sort of a wrestle. What child is this? And the chorus says, this is Christ the King. There's no greater gift that has ever been given that when God, out of his love, sent his one and only Son. Before he sent his Son, if he had never planned to send his Son or never sent his Son, what would this world be like? This world was condemned already. There would be no hope. We'd be living in our sin, in the darkness, no hope for forgiveness, no hope for eternal life. It would be darkness and suffering and death. But while we're still in that darkness, while we're still sinners, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, he walked on this earth. He lived a perfect life. And then in the end, he's mocked. They put a crown of thorns on him. They hit him in the head. They spit on him. As we learned last week, he's betrayed by a close friend. He's whipped. He's nailed to a cross. And he's lifted up for all to see. His body is placed in a tomb. And he rises from the dead on the third day. He's with the Father at his right hand. And right now he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We don't have to live in the darkness. We don't have to go around depressed because Christ has come. He did come. And this time of year, we should celebrate the birth of Jesus. Because of Jesus, because he came, we can have eternal life. We can be born again. Hark the Herald Angel sings one of my favorite Christmas songs. One of the lines says, born to give them second birth. Jesus was born so that we can be born again. Without him, we have no hope. Just like those Israelites. If you were those Israelites in the desert, you're bitten by a snake. I don't know how long it took, a few hours or a few days, you were going to die. Your life was over. We're living similar to that. Without Christ, it's like we've been bitten by a poisonous snake. Our life is short. We're going to end up dying, being punished forever. But the Israelites, if they had faith, they'd look up to that snake, and they'd be healed. In a similar way, we deserve punishment. We're sinful. We rebelled against God. But if we look up to Jesus on the cross, if we believe in him, we can have eternal life. So how do we respond? Jesus has been given. God has given the greatest gift of all time. What's our response? Maybe think in your own, to yourself, how have you responded to this gift? I thought of three possible responses. One is believe. Verse 16, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. How do you respond to this gift? Believe. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus. If I imagine those Israelites, if they got bit by the snake and they heard, yep, you got bit by a snake, but if you want to live, you look up to that snake that was put up on the pole. I suppose some of them, they think, well, I don't believe that. Yeah, I'm not buying that. They just go to their tent or they don't look up. They were going to die. You got to believe the message. You got to believe the message. Turn away from trying to save yourself a thousand different ways or justify yourself. Turn away from your sin, your greed, your lust, your pride, your selfishness. Look to Jesus to be saved. There'd be no greater celebration this Christmas than if all of us in here, our friends, our family, came to believe in the Lord Jesus. Don't be like those who live in the darkness and their evil deeds and want to hide them and refuse to come into the light. Come into the light. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you need Jesus to save you. So number one, believe. Number two, how do we respond to this gift, this greatest gift? Celebrate. Praise God for what he's done. Sing songs to him. Be filled with joy. Be filled with gratitude and thankfulness of this amazing news. Be generous. I remember someone in my family, they gave generously to a poor family at Christmas time. They didn't tell anyone, but they did it for Christ. Boy, that's a contagious thing. But I think they were just celebrating. Christ has done so much for me. That is so amazing. I got to bless somebody else. So put your faith in Christ. Celebrate this fact. And it goes with number three, share with others. Share this good news with others. Share this gospel message. If you had been bit by a snake, you're about to die, but someone said, hey, look at the snake, you'll be healed. And you do. Now, if someone you know got bit by a snake, would you tell them what happened to you? Yeah, you'd say, hey, I looked at the snake and I got healed. If you've come to know Christ and you know someone that hasn't, tell them the hope you have. Share the good news. Especially at Christmas time, what an opportunity. Why are you celebrating Christmas? You looking forward to Christmas? Share. Don't just talk about the gatherings and the food and the lights. Talk about Christ. Share at home. Share at school. At your work. Gatherings. Lots of you will probably have Christmas gatherings. It's a unique time of year for that. You get to see people you don't always get to see. Why do you go to gatherings? Probably often we go for selfish reasons. You know, I want good food. I want to talk to people I like. I want to feel good when someone opens my gift, whatever it is. I want to show off my car or my house. But could we have a different idea for gatherings? I want to share about Christ. I'm going to a gathering. Maybe I don't sit with the people I always sit with. Maybe I find someone that looks lonely or you know they've had a hard year. And you say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? Listen to them, love them, pray for them. Share how Christ has saved you. Go to gatherings looking to share about this amazing gift that God has given. Share the gospel this Christmas season. It's an amazing opportunity. Don't just talk, don't just think about gifts and food and lights. Put your eyes, put your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you that you didn't just leave us condemned to die. But thank you, God, that you sent your one and only Son. You, God, with us. May it fill us with so much joy and gratitude. May we truly believe it. May you be our only hope. I pray that as we go from here, we'll truly celebrate the gift you have given, and we will share with all those around us. Amen.